This is The Guardian.
Brigid Ahmed here on Gadigal Land with the full story. In the UK, a reckoning of sorts is unfolding in the wake of the latest tranche of Epstein files. Britain is now debating a new inquiry and possibly removing former Prince Andrew from the line of succession in the wake of his arrest on suspicion of misconduct in public office. He denies all wrongdoing. But on the other side of the Atlantic, there is nothing close to that reaction.
Jeffrey Epstein was American. It's the Justice Department here that has released these files. And yet, the paradox seems to be the further you are away from America, the more trouble you're in.
Today, Washington Bureau Chief David Smith on a tale of two nations. It's Tuesday, the 24th of February. Hi, David. It's good to see you again.
Hi, Reggie. Great to be here.
What was your reaction when that news broke of former Prince Andrew's arrest?
I was pretty stunned, like so many people. Of course, I now live in Washington, D.C., so it was something that we woke up to that had happened in the early hours, local time here. Yeah, extraordinary and pretty astounding. As you can probably tell from my accent, I am British originally and lived there for 34 years of my life and in previous lives covered royal events like the Queen Mother's funeral and probably saw Prince Andrew from afar at Buckingham Palace and Balmoral and other places like that. And yeah, the whole thing was pretty staggering, this idea that somebody so powerful, so used to getting his way in this august world of the royal family could be brought so low.
It's really hard to ignore those comparisons when we look at the furore happening in the UK over this story with the fallout of the Epstein files and what's happening in the US. How would you describe the difference there?
It's an extraordinarily stark contrast, really dramatic difference, because this is ground zero of the Epstein files here in the United States. Jeffrey Epstein was American. It's the Justice Department here that has released these files. And yet, the paradox seems to be the further you are away from America, the more trouble you're in. And we've seen reverberations across Europe, in France, in Scandinavia and other places, and obviously especially in Britain, with the former Prince Andrew being arrested, with Peter Mandelson losing his job as British ambassador to the US, and that threatening even the Prime Minister, Keir Starmer, over his judgment. And so there is a real sense of some accountability going on in other parts of the world. And yet here in the United States, very little accountability at all. Only one person has been legally prosecuted over Epstein and associations with him. And that, of course, is Ghislaine Maxwell, currently serving 20 years in prison. Beyond that, no one has been brought to book by the Justice Department. In fairness, plenty of big name figures have suffered reputational damage, from Bill Gates to Bill Clinton. But in terms of actual legal accountability, the Epstein class, as one senator recently put it, is getting off pretty scot-free in the US. So it's a very dramatic contrast.
We should say that former Prince Andrew has always denied any wrongdoing. I'm wondering in the US whether the Justice Department has said that they're still investigating, like whether we might see some sort of repercussions to come down the line.
I'm afraid the indications have been the opposite. Todd Blanche, the Deputy Attorney General, therefore, the second ranking legal official in the whole US, actually went on TV recently and said there are no new cases pending, and that appears to be the end of the prosecutions. He doesn't expect there to be any further criminal cases involving this. Pam Bondi, his boss, the Attorney General, she was testifying to Congress the week before last. She was also asked, are you pursuing more leads here? Could more people be brought to book? She refused to comment on that and really stonewalled. And so I would say right now in the US, there's very little expectation of anyone else facing the former Prince Andrew treatment.
I mean, to play devil's advocate, could it be that the Justice Department is right, that they just don't have enough to pursue criminal investigations?
I don't know the fine details of so many of these cases, but certainly survivors of Jeffrey Epstein's abuse would be very skeptical of that. They would like to see further prosecutions. Members of Congress, such as Ro Khanna, a Democrat who's been leading this charge, he would like to see greater accountability. And the critics of the Justice Department position on this note that it really has lost independence under Donald Trump. If you want an illustration of that point, even subsequent to the former Prince Andrew's arrest and all these controversies, just the other day, a giant image of Donald Trump was rolled out on the Justice Department building. This, of course, is the building that used to pursue him over criminal charges over January the 6th and other things. Now his face is looking out from it. And as you can imagine, there were many people who drew comparisons to dictatorships and, you know, what does this say to have his image festooned all over Washington?
Right. So there's that lack of trust, perhaps, in the US Justice Department. Something else that's very stark in the UK is that the allegations being pursued are not, at this point in time, around the allegations that the women who claim they've been abused are making. Is there a difference there between the UK and the US, that there's this accusation of misuse of sensitive government documents, but we haven't quite seen that coming from the US?
Yeah, I think in the US it's not been a big issue so far, this idea of people leaking sensitive government secrets or financial records to Jeffrey Epstein, whereas, of course, with both the former Prince Andrew and with Peter Mandelson on the British side, these were kind of live issues. Again, I would not want to rule it out. I mean, it's possible, and it feels like it could be the case that we've heard about it on the British side because there has been a thorough following of the leads there, whereas on the US side, there is that feeling of a cover-up, of this not being pursued to the ultimate length. And just to take one figure, I think, who does potentially deserve scrutiny in the US, Howard Lutnick, the Commerce Secretary, he has been caught in a lie already. He did an interview where he talked about meeting Jeffrey Epstein and promised that would be the last time, he would never see him again. And then the Epstein files, some emails showed that he had, in fact, subsequently been to Jeffrey Epstein's island with his family and even his nannies, and he admitted that to a congressional panel. He is now the Commerce Secretary of the United States, a very important figure in the way the American economy is run, a right-hand man of Donald Trump. Pretty extraordinary that he's been allowed to get away with that. Certainly Democrats have called for his resignation, but Trump has shown no indication that that's going to be the case. And I do think that's one example where in Britain or Australia or any other country, that would be a resigning offence.
David, let's talk a bit about that. You mentioned earlier that some people have had to step down over allegations or associations with Epstein. If there hasn't been a legal reckoning in the US, how much of a cultural reckoning has there been?
I'd say it's been spotty and sporadic. It's been partial. I mean, sure, someone like Larry Summers, a former Treasury Secretary under Bill Clinton, has been widely shamed and editorials have been written, and he's been somewhat disgraced and forced to resign from various positions. The Epstein files have produced lots of photos that run on news programs, that appear in newspapers, that are mocked by satirists and on comedy shows. It's been pretty uncomfortable reading for some of these Epstein associates. And another example of that would be Noam Chomsky, the linguist, much loved and revered by many people on the left. He's been implicated in this. So there has been that sense of social taboos and social shaming, and maybe, you know, you won't get invited to the same parties that you once did, or certain lectures would be cancelled. But that's kind of been it. And I'm not sure it's been a true cultural reckoning on the scale, for example, of the Me Too movement, where that did feel it was both wide and deep and really affected almost every workplace and the way people perceive the world. And this one, I think in the maelstrom of the Trump administration with so much else going on, yes, these stories are there and then they're gone. And there's not been a proper reckoning with the Epstein class.
David, let's take a look at Donald Trump himself. He does appear in the files. There's no suggestion of any wrongdoing. Why isn't there the same outrage in the US over any possible Donald Trump connections?
It's incredible, isn't it, that Keir Starmer, British Prime Minister, fighting for his political life over his appointment of Peter Mandelson and the Mandelson disgrace. And meanwhile, Donald Trump, often been called Teflon Don, nothing sticks to him, cruising once more. A slightly boring point. I mean, some of that is structural in that I think a British prime minister is always more vulnerable. Their party can rebel at any moment, and Starmer was looking fragile already. An American president feels pretty locked in for 4 years unless something totally catastrophic happens and the cabinet wants to remove them. But I think more profoundly, I think Trump has benefited, as always, from the expectations game. There has been such hype, such drama around the Epstein files that the mere, and I use the word mere advisedly, that his name, I think, appears 38,000 times, is kind of shrugged off by many politicians and then even many members of the public. There was such hype. There was this kind of notion of there will be a real smoking gun. There will be some desperately incriminating photograph of Donald Trump, or there'll be this this allegation that is beyond the pale. And so far, the files have not produced that really dramatic moment for him. And in fact, one of the most recent revelations was him in the early 2000s actually saying to a local sheriff, "Epstein's up to bad things. You know, you should look into him. I'm distancing myself." So Trump supporters are actually trying to argue it works in his favor. And I do think he's also been protected here by all these other names that are involved. And that, of course, includes Bill Clinton, a Democrat who will be testifying to Congress soon. Some of those others I mentioned, Bill Gates and Larry Summers and so on. That helps to deflect attention from Trump himself and just kind of soaks up the interest. And then finally, there's that fundamental point, of course, that Trump has made us somewhat immune to scandals, the kind of thing that would have brought down any other president or prime minister. For Donald Trump, it's just another Tuesday. And, you know, the next day he will, as he did, put out a racist tweet depicting the Obamas as apes. The day after that, there'll be something else. And there's always been this kind of strange reality with Trump that having 1,000 scandals on the go is actually better than having one that really sort of grabs you by the throat.
Does that mean that there's no danger for Donald Trump left with the Epstein files?
I think we may see a reckoning, a justice through other means. In Britain, it happened the traditional way with law and order. In America, clearly, it's not going to happen that way. But there could be a different kind of reckoning, I think, through the ballot box, because we're heading towards the midterm elections in November. The public will be able to render their verdict on Donald Trump's handling of the Epstein files. And I think worth noting, the whole thing has been botched. We still only have about half of them. Even the files that we do have, there's been too many redactions. It could be argued sometimes survivors' names and personal details have been revealed. It's actually caused them more upset rather than less. You know, the survivors are very unhappy about all of this. And let's not forget, Donald Trump's support base were always fascinated by these files, demanding their release, upset that Trump was taking so long. At least some of them may be watching and thinking Trump is not such a hero after all. Maybe he does have something to hide. Compounding that with independent voters and others, it could be a very bad night for Republicans in November. And if Democrats suddenly have control of the House and maybe even the Senate, they can actually turn the tables on Trump. They can start pursuing the Epstein files further and generally try to check his executive power.
We'll be right back. Just finally, before we go, you mentioned the Democrats. And I do wonder whether it's difficult for the Democrats to take the higher moral ground, because the Democrats didn't make a decision to release them, but Donald Trump did.
And certainly that was one of Attorney General Pam Bondi's counter-arguments during congressional testimony. Why did you not put these questions to Merrick Garland, the Attorney General, under Joe Biden for the past 4 years?
Didn't see one tweet, not one.
One of the Democrats on that panel switched on her mic and said, weak sauce, weak sauce.
When he was
weak sauce.
And
weak sauce.
Also, I want the record to reflect that, you know, with this.
I think other Democrats acknowledge perhaps more could have been done by Biden as well. You know, why is it such a big political issue now? I think part of the reality there, of course, is that Trump himself set this trap where he's caught himself. He was the one pushing the conspiracy theories about Epstein, and he created that expectation that they would be released now. But there are members of Congress, both Democrat and Republican, who say, let the chips fall where they may. And yes, perhaps there will be bad things about Bill Clinton on the Democratic side, and certainly Democrats like Larry Summers. And let's hear about the Republicans too. The survivors demand transparency here. And if Trump had handled it better and released the files earlier, he could actually have cleared up a lot of this mess. He's been his own worst enemy again. And I think, you know, therefore, he's actually given Democrats something of an opening. All of that said, during the election campaign, I would not expect the Epstein files to be the number one issue. That will still be the economy and affordability, but it may well be part of the mix.
David, it's always wonderful to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Great to see you.
That was Washington Bureau Chief David Smith. This episode was produced by Miles Herbert, sound design and mixing by Joe Koning, and the executive producer of Full Story is Hannah Parks. Don't forget to subscribe or follow Full Story wherever you listen to podcasts, including on Spotify. I'm Regid Ahmed. See you soon.